New Testament Character Podcast 49. Throughout the book of Acts, we see the spread of the gospel as the early Christians share the great news about Jesus Christ with those who are receptive, anyone who will listen, regardless of their religious background. People from a Jewish background or a background of idolatry, Greeks, Romans, highborn, lowborn servants. The gospel reached men and women alike, and Paul was one of the most effective persons at reaching not just men, but also women. And yet, oddly enough, in our time, some scholars, some critics, think of Paul as being anti-woman, that he wanted to suppress them. He was a misogynist. Yet, like his Lord, Paul connected very well with women. He respected them and touched their hearts when he presented the gospel. You can see evidence of this in places like Thessalonica, Berea, and Athens, three cities mentioned in Acts 17. Well, today we're going to focus on the woman Lydia in Acts 16, who's not only prominent, but someone of strong character. Let me set the stage, giving just a bit of the background. Paul is traveling around the Mediterranean. This is in his second missionary journey. And he's normally with other people. And one of the persons he's with is the author of Acts, that is Luke. Luke is traveling with Paul. You could tell because this is one of the passages where it says we, not they. That's always the giveaway. So they've been in Western Asia, and Paul had a vision of the man of Macedonia. That's in Acts 16:9. And although they would have continued preaching in Asia, in the vision, this man beckons them to come to him, to cross over into what is technically Europe. We read in verses 11 and 12, from Troas we put out to sea and sailed straight for Samothrace, and the next day we went on to Neapolis. And from there we traveled to Philippi. So Luke is saying that they left Troas, which is a city very close to ancient Troy, and they went across the water. That would be quicker than taking the land route, although Paul mixes them both as he travels by land, by sea. And then they come to Philippi. Philippi, a Roman colony and the leading city of that district of Macedonia. And we stayed there several days. So it's a short visit, but Paul comes to Philippi, and it's a Roman colony. Roman colonies didn't necessarily have synagogues, but Jews and those who were attracted to Judaism, and there were many of them in the ancient world, they're normally called God-fearers or worshipers of God, they would all meet together, usually at a place outside the city, like a river. And in such cases, they really didn't have a choice if there was no synagogue. On the Sabbath, we went outside the city gate to the river where we expected to find a place of prayer. We sat down and began to speak to the women who had gathered there. All right, so the people who are gathered there are women. Culturally, that's not surprising. Some people read this and they say, oh yeah, look, it's the Sabbath. That's the day you go to church. This passage really has little to do with going to church. If Paul wanted to preach the gospel and begin with those who had already been conditioned, people in whose God had been working in their hearts already, particularly through the scriptures, then you would go to a place where you would find Jews. There's no synagogue, so they go to the alternative, which is a place of prayer by a river. Why on the Sabbath then? Why did he go there? This would be a Saturday. Well, because that's the day that people influenced by Judaism were meeting. You wouldn't have the same success on Friday or Tuesday. Sabbath, of course, became a day for evangelism because that's when the Jews came together. But the early church met on Sundays. We know that from abundant historical evidence in the Bible and outside in commemoration of Jesus' resurrection from the dead. So there they are. They're at the river. They're hoping to find some people who will be receptive. And we're going to read the verse where we are introduced to Lydia, which is Acts 16:14. And we'll read two verses, and then there's only one other verse, and that's it. There's not a lot of material, but I think we can still get some insight. One of those listening was a woman from the city of Thyatira named Lydia, a dealer in purple cloth. She was a worshiper of God. The Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message. When she and the members of her household were baptized, she invited us to her home. So here we meet Lydia. Lydia is actually a place name. Today, I know many people named Lydia. I have a friend who used to have a cat named Lydia. But back then, it was a place name. It's a region of Asia Minor, that is, across the water to what we would today call Turkey, the western part of Turkey. It'd be like calling someone Cambridge or Kansas, or calling someone Osaka. People do this for all kinds of reasons, but it's a place name. And she's a merchant. She's a dealer in purple cloth. She's not just running a little kiosk. She's a merchant. Reminds me of the Proverbs 31 woman. If you're not familiar with that incredible passage, please read the last 22 verses of Proverbs 31, because you see a woman who is respectable, industrious, productive, you know, quite a combination. Lydia is perhaps a widow, but if not, and we cannot know for sure, she's independent. That comes across in her character. She is well off. And we read nothing of her husband. Again, we don't want to read too much into this, but it makes sense if she was a widow, which is what many people believe. It says that she's from Thyatira, again, just across the water in the western part of Asia Minor, and yet here she is in Europe. She's a worshiper of God. She's drawn to the true God of Judaism, and she listens, and the Lord opens her heart. That makes us think of the two disciples walking along the Emmaus Road. Well, Lydia is standing by a river, not a road, but God will reach us anywhere. Because she's respectful of God's message and God's messengers, her heart opens and she comes to faith. And it says that she's baptized, because baptism is included in the response to faith. And not just Lydia, but others as well. It says members of her household. That would be the children old enough to understand. It would be the servants. If she had her parents, if they were grandparents there, it would include whoever lived there. And that's not uncommon in the early church for entire households to come to faith. Well, this is quite interesting. It seems that she has become the first convert in Europe. All right, I know there were visitors from Rome in Jerusalem at Pentecost, Acts 2, right? Isn't that what you've heard? I don't think that's what the text of Acts 2 is saying. And I've reasoned this already in a different part of the website. But there were people from all over the Mediterranean world. But it's where they originally came from. They weren't there for the feast. These were people who had roots in Arabia or Italy or Mesopotamia, North Africa, so forth. And so she may well have been the very first convert in Europe. There's one more sentence. She says after the baptism, and you know, she invites us to her home. Perhaps Paul and Luke, they weren't totally certain what they would do. But she says, "If you consider me a believer in the Lord, come and stay at my house." And she persuaded us. Well, I think it felt, the first few times I read that, it felt a little bit manipulative. You know, if you consider me a believer in the Lord, you know, unless you've really botched the gospel and you baptized me incorrectly. No, but I don't think that's what's happening here. I think she's simply being persuasive. If we're part of the same spiritual family, let me help in this way. And the missionaries needed a place to stay. So I say she's persuasive, not manipulative. Lydia's mentioned one more time, just 25 verses later. And after Paul and Silas are released from prison, where they were unfairly incarcerated after being beaten up, they leave and they're escorted out by the city officials. And it says in Acts 16:40, they go straight to Lydia's house. I think that shows us the importance, not just of her conversion, but of her home, her network of relationships, all of which serve as a sort of beachhead for the gospel. How does this apply to you and me? I've got some thoughts. I've got several thoughts. First, maybe you're a businessman. You're a businesswoman. You have a lot on, that pressure. Maybe it's hard to leave it at the office, so to speak. You bring it home with you. Just because you run a business doesn't mean you don't have time for an active Christian life. And that's true for several reasons. Regardless of our degree of busyness with our business, let's never be too busy to serve the Lord. Business gives us opportunities to model hard work and productivity, sure, but also to show others Christ's love, to display fairness and respect and gentleness. If we have successful business, it means that we can do our fair share. We can actually pull our weight and then some as we help others financially. If you've been blessed with material goods and a home, secondly, let's make it available. Make the goods and the home, make them available for the spread of the gospel. Hospitality is an important virtue. In the early church, it was expected that church leaders are hospitable. It's a requirement. It's expected. And so if you've been blessed with that kind of abundance, let's use it the right way. And third, and finally, in evangelism, we don't need to just look for unbelievers, those who have no background, atheists and agnostics. It's okay to focus on those who are already on a sort of faith journey. Lydia was already attracted to the true God through Judaism. Paul spoke of the gospel as first for the Jew and then for the Greek, back in Romans 1. So in evangelism, let's not shy away from those who are more religious any more than we would shy away from those who don't have any faith and just have questions. Those are some thoughts for application. To summarize, if you're a busy person like Lydia and your job is demanding, you can still live an active Christian life using your gifts, your finances, your home for the spread of the gospel. That's hospitality, number two. And thirdly, in evangelism, we learn from the example of Paul and others that it's good to focus on those who are already on that faith journey. God bless you. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye.